Krishna and Balaram present themselves as younger brother and elder brother, but in the scriptures they are described as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and His expansion. Ramadi Murtishu Kalan Yamina Tishtanana Avatar Makrod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Svayam Samabhavat Paramahumanyo Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who by His various plenary portions appears in the world in different forms and incarnations, such as Lord Ram, but who personally appears in His supreme original form as Lord Krishna. This is a quotation from Brahma Samhita 5.39. Shri Chaitanya Se Krishna Nityananda Ram Nityananda Purna Kare Chaitanera Kama. Lord Chaitanya is the same Lord Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda fulfills all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. Nityananda Mahima Sindhu Anantapara Eka Kana Sparshimatra Sikripa Tanhara. The ocean of Lord Nityananda's glories is infinite and unfathomable. Only by His mercy I can touch even a drop of it. Araika Shunatan Kripara Mahima Adhama Jivere Chandaila Urdvasima. Please listen to another glory of His mercy. He made a fallen living entity climb to the highest limit. Veda Guhya Katha E Ayogya Kahite Tatha Pikahite Tanra Kripa Prakashite. To disclose it is not proper, for it should be kept as confidential as the Vedas. Yet I shall speak of it to make His mercy known to all. Ulasu pari lenkon tomar prasada Nityananda Prabhu Murakshama Paradha. O Lord Nityananda, I write of your mercy out of great exaltation. Please forgive me for my offenses. Avadhuta Gosha Niraika Britta Prema Dham Minaketan Ramadasa Hoyatandranam. Lord Nityananda Prabhu had a servant named Shri Minaketan Ramdas, who was a reservoir of love. Omara Alaye Ohoratra Sankirtana Tohati Ayatin Kupana Nimantrana. At my house there was Sankirtan day and night, and therefore he visited there, having been invited. Maha Prima Moya Tingho Vasila Angani Sakala Vaishnavatana Vandilacharani. Absorbed in emotional love, he sat in my courtyard, and all the Vaishnavas bowed down at his feet. Namaskara Karite Kara Uparite Chade Prema Kare Vangshimare Kahake Chapade. In a joyful mood of love of God, he sometimes climbed upon the shoulder of someone offering obeisances, and sometimes he struck others with his flute or mildly slapped them. Yenayana Dhekite Ashru Hayam Haneyar Sei Netre Avichina Vohe Ashru Dhara. When somebody saw the eyes of Minaketan and Ramdas, tears would automatically flow from his own eyes, for a constant shower of tears flowed from the eyes of Minaketan and Ramdas. Kabu kona ange deki pulaka kadamba, eka ange chadya tandra ara ange kampa. Sometimes there were eruptions of ecstasies like kadamba flowers on some parts of his body, and sometimes one limb would be stunned while another would be trembling. Nityananda boli yabe karina hunkara taha deki lokerhaya maha chamatkara. Whenever he shouted aloud the name of Nityananda, the people around him were filled with great wonder and astonishment. Gunarnava mishra nami ekavipra arya Shrimurti nikate tenho kare sevokarya. One respectable Brahmana named Shri Gunarnav Mishra was serving the deity. Angane asya tenho nakaila sambhasha taha deki krudha hana Bali Ramadasa. When Minaketan was seated in the yard, this Brahmana did not offer him respect. Seeing this, Sri Ramadas became angry and spoke. Eta dvitya sutaro maharshana baladeva dekiye na karila pradyugama. Here I find the second Ramaharshan Sutta who did not stand to show honor when he saw Lord Balaram. Eta balina che gaya kare santosha krishna karya kare viprana karila rosha. After saying this, he danced and sang to his heart's content, but the Brahmana did not become angry, for he was then serving Lord Krishna. Minaketan Ramdas was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. When he entered the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj, Gunarnav Mishra, the priest who was worshipping the deity installed in the house, did not receive him very well. A similar event occurred when Ramaharshan Sutta was speaking of the great assembly of sages at Naimisharani. Lord Baladev entered that great assembly, but since Ramaharshan Sutta was on the Vyasasan, he did not get down to offer respect to Lord Baladev. The behavior of Gunarnav Mishra indicated that he had no great respect for Lord Nityananda, and this idea was not at all palatable for Minaketan Ramdas. For this reason, the mentality of Minaketan Ramdas is never deprecated by devotees. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Minitam Minatasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Grim Yat Kripata Dham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So this chapter is describing glories of Lord Nityananda, and with this story we begin in this section. We hear how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami decided to leave his home. So apparently in his house, this priest Gunarnava Mishra and also his brother, as we'll see from the verses following, they did not appreciate very much Nityananda Prabhu and his followers, although they were great devotees of Krishna and also Lord Chaitanya. So these events following that incident in the night when they performed night kirtan, and the dissatisfaction of Minaketan Ramdas by the behavior of this Gunarnav Mishra, and after that by his argument with Shyam, the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj, made this great devotee of Nityananda Prabhu, Minaketan Ramdas, to leave actually the house in an angry mood by breaking his flute. And because of that, Gunarnava Mishra actually chastised his brother. And because of that, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was very happy that he actually defended his great devotee Minaketan, and he appeared in his dream and told Krishnadas Kaviraj to leave his house and go to Vrindavan. So this is the setting of the story, and there is a very important principle here which is described, which is illustrated by this. And on the first thought, we may think that why this devotee became angry because of someone not offering him respect, right? Isn't it that Lord Chaitanya taught us to offer respect to everyone and not respect for ourselves, not expect any respect, right? Amanadina, manadina, kirtanya sadahari, to be able to chant constantly, we have to respect everyone, but not hope to receive that respect for ourselves. So here it seems we see the opposite. He is a great devotee and he wasn't offered obeisances, he becomes angry. Why is that? So what happens is that, right, here is this one very important principle of receiving guests in Vaishnava, and in fact, the Vedic culture. This is a very, very essential principle. So guests, especially unexpected guests, when it comes here, of course he was invited, but even when unexpected guest comes in the house, basically everything should stop, and the whole family should pay attention to the guests and receive him properly. Of course, guest in that sense means usually a very elevated devotee or brahmana. It's not just anybody who comes, especially if it's like a friend or family. You don't offer this. You don't stop everything, all the activities. But if it's such elevated person, then this respect is shown through a particular etiquette by offering at least a seat and a nice talk, nice words, and nice prasadam, or at least water. And this should be done through the whole day. The guest should be received very nicely, and very nice care should be taken care. And if one can extend this to 3 days, this is considered first-class reception of guests. And after that, one is not obliged. Even the guest stays. You know, it doesn't mean that one should, you know, the activities of the whole family should stop and not continue for a long time. So this is the culture, and when it is not followed, why is that? Because of course the guest, such guest is considered as a representative of Krishna, and of course when one receives God, naturally one will respect, offer most opulent reception, and with great respect will worship this kind of guest. So that is the idea that the guest represents Krishna, and therefore he should be received in this way. So if that's not done in such a way, it's considered an insult and has a very severe consequences. So here I've tried to speak briefly of what are the consequences of such disrespectful behavior and what are the causes for this disrespect. And there are many stories showing this, and in the example here, Minaketan Ramdas, of course, remembers his worship of Lord Nityananda Prabhu in his appearance as Lord Balaram when he wasn't offered respect by Rama Harshan Sutta. So the point was that Minaketan was not angry that he was not offered respect. What happened was, one can say that actually there was a conflict in the duties. When the guests came, everyone offered respect, but this brahmana was busy with the worship of the deity. One might say, well, that's not a great offense that he didn't actually offer respect at that time. But the problem was that Minaketan understood his mentality. He understood that he didn't offer obeisances, not because he didn't see him, or he was too busy, he was absorbed in love of Krishna, because he didn't consider him important. And the reason for that was that he didn't appreciate Nityananda Prabhu. And that was which made Minaketan very sorry. It wasn't because of he didn't receive that that obeisances that make him angry. It was because Nityananda Prabhu, his master, he wasn't receive properly. And that's what Prabhupada says, that for this, the behavior of Gunardhan Mishra indicated he had no great respect for Nityananda Prabhu. So that's why Minaketan Ramdas was angry. So one of the reasons was probably that Nityananda Prabhu and his close associates were very extraordinary in their social behavior. They were avadutas. Avaduta means someone who doesn't care of the body, literally. And they usually disregarded any kind of social etiquette. And there are also many stories in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, when we see Nityananda Prabhu himself and some of his followers doing these extraordinary things. And sometimes, which they seem strange in the eyes of normal persons. So therefore, that created some doubts in ordinary Kanishtha devotees. They couldn't recognize how they were, that this was the Lord and his devotees were his personal eternal associates. And they were in a mood of coward boys, so therefore they were very playful and didn't care about anything. They were just absorbed in love of Krishna. So their behavior was very, very strange. And in fact, in Bhakti Ratnakar, Narahari Chakravarti, when he explains the different devotees, and one devotee like that, like Minaketan Ramdas, he's mentioned there, but another one is Abhiram Thakur. When he says, I will now describe his character, but it's very difficult that you understand it. In fact, only most fortunate people can understand the character of Nityananda Prabhu and his intimate followers. So therefore, one should be very, very careful when one hears about these pastimes and makes that one can make a wrong judgment and create a great offense in such a way. So, yeah, Abhiram Thakur was famous for having a very peculiar preaching strategy. He had a whip called Joy Mongol. So whoever he touched with that whip was awakened. He awakened his love of God, and that was very straightforward preaching and was very effective. You know, you just get one whip, that's it. You don't need to do much more. You have it already. You just continue your devotional service already as a prema bhakta. So. And that, not only that, but he would offer respectful obeisances. He would offer respectful obeisances very humbly, but these respects, if they were offered to someone who was not bona fide devotee, that could have a fatal consequences. Just like if you offer respects to, he would offer respects to any stone different than Shalagram, the stone would crack. Even the deities who were not really bona fide in some way, they would crack. He actually, when he started his tour in Bengal, he went in different villages, he cracked a number of deities. And also, if he offers you obeisances and you are not real devotee, you crack. So he had this this kind of a fame. And then when he heard of the son of Mukunda Dasa, was a very close devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was the brother of Narahari Sarkar. They were living near Katwa, where Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, in a village called Shikand, I believe, yeah. And so they had a deity, Gopinath. And this Mukunda Das, he had a son, Raghunandan. When he was a small boy, one Mukunda, who was a physician, he left for some duty and he asked his son to offer the bhoga. And he told him, it's very important that Krishna eats. This is the standard of worship. So make sure you offer it nicely and that Krishna eats. And when Raghunandan was offering to Gopinath is actually that big. It's still there in their house. You can go to Shikanda and see this very sweet deity. And this small Raghunandan was offering and waiting, and the food was still in the plate. So he was becoming very concerned, what's going on? He's not eating, I'm doing something wrong, and my father will come back, he'll chastise me, what shall I do? So he was, please, Gopinath, eat. And the food was still there, and he started crying at one point, please, eat. So Gopinath just ate the whole thing, and it says the story that he didn't even leave a grain of rice. So his father came, Mukunda Das, and he was asking his boy, so did you do the offering? Yes, oh, very nice, and can you bring me some Mahaprasad now? Well, there's nothing left. He ate it at all. Mukunda Das was very puzzled, actually. For 3 days he was thinking, because my son wouldn't lie, but how can this? So actually he decided to go again and told him, can you offer one more? And Raghunath, yeah, I'll do it. But he went back to another road, and then he he was watching through, you know, a door. And Raghunath again, eat, and Gopinath started eating, but this time Gopinath noticed that Mukunda was looking at him, so he stopped. So actually, in Gopinath's hand, it's interesting. He has this, he has like a playing a flute, but his hands are down like the deity of in Vrindavan of the temple of not sure what was Gokulananda actually, yeah, of the deity of which is Radharman temple, and then just close to that is Radha Gokulananda. It's a very small deity of Vishwana Chakravarti. So he has also his hands like that. So this Gopinath, there is some kind of a white spot, they say it's the sweet he was eating, and he was half eating and he stopped eating. So anyway, the point was that Abhiram Thakur, he heard that Raghunandan, this small boy, was very great devotee, so he wanted to see him and offer him obeisances. So having this, he was notorious for that. So Mukunda Dasa told Abhiram, he is not around. So he actually said Raghunandan in some neighbors and tried to hit him. And Abhiram was very disappointed and left. And but Raghunandan actually heard, oh, this great devotee Abhiram is around. So he ran after him. He caught him in some place which is also still there, and it's outside the village. It's a very beautiful place. If you can go there, you can visit that. There is also the place where Lochan Das Thakur wrote under a great banyan tree. It's still there, this tree. He wrote, Lochan Das Thakur wrote this Chaitanya Mangal. So anyway, Raghunath went, and Abhiram Thakur offered him obeisances, and nothing happened. That's always very happy. This is a great bona fide devotee. And they embraced and started dancing in ecstasy. And during this dance, the Nupur, the ankle bells of Raghunandan, these ankle bells are actually it's bigger with kind of big bells, and they make this sound. In fact, Prabhupada told some of his disciples, the men disciples, they could wear Nupurs during kirtan. Some did for some time, but so men were wearing this Nupur. So he was dancing, and during the wild dance, one of his Nupur flew to another village and fell in a kund, and it's still there. This, yeah. So you know, it was an extraordinary devotee, but he was very, very, you could say, different, and not everybody could understand. So we're advised to be very careful when we judge by hearing this this behavior, and especially to not be disrespectful or doubtful. So one of the reasons here we can see is that this pujari was actually the reason for his disrespect was his immaturity. We could say it was not such a grave offense, because he just couldn't recognize. His mentality was improper, but he didn't get that severe punishment. Like, for example, other types of offenses offered to or made to great devotees, like we see in the case of Haridas Thakur in Antilila, we have the chapter of the glories of Nityananda Prabhu. Like here, and then it's the glories of Haridas Thakur. So in that chapter we have two stories of illustrating a similar lesson that if one disrespects a great devotee, one will get a very severe reaction. And not only that, there is actually a verse after the first story of Ramachandra Khandat, by disrespecting a great devotee, not only one is affected, but also the whole area where he is affected. So what happened was this Ramachandra Khan was he was envious, and that's another reason, and it's more severe, it's heavier to, because of envy, to disrespect some great devotee. And he was envious of Haridas Thakur because everybody would worship him, although he was just a low class born Muslim. And So he had the whole plan of sending a prostitute to make him fall down and all that. So it didn't work. And Haridas Thakur left after saving the prostitute. But because of that offense to Haridas Thakur, what happened was that when once Nityananda Prabhu visited the place, he went in the house because he was very rich, a landlord, this Ramachandraka. So he went with many followers, and in the courtyard there was this Durga Mandap, which is the place where they perform a worship of Durga. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat on this place, on the Durga Mandap, and they were performing kirtan. So the person was inside the house, was not outside, and he didn't even go to receive Nityananda Prabhu. He didn't even go out. He just sent his servant and told him, "Can you tell this, you know, this party, Nityananda Prabhu and his group, to go in the house of the milkman and stay in his goshala? It's a more spacious place, you know, because in this place it will not be comfortable. It's not fit. It's just too small. You know, can you imagine here, you know, like some Swami comes with many disciples, and then here the management doesn't even go to receive them properly. They just send someone, say, can you just tell them to go to the goshala? There is a special, you know, place we don't have. It's nice. It's a nice place. It's new." So, and then Nityananda Prabhu heard that, he became angry and he left and said, "It's true, this place is not fit for me. It just fits for mlechas and, you know, cow eaters." And soon after that, the Muslim governor or minister of finance, the tax, because he was a kind of a tax collector also, this Ramachandra Khan, but he was trying to you know, cheat and hide some of the taxes. And so this minister came to punish. So what he did, he also made his, you know, place of residence in this Durga Mandapa. And then he killed a cow right there, and he cooked it in the kitchen of Ramachandra Khan, and he was eating there for a number of days. He plundered all of his riches and everybody else from the village also. And so after he left, practically, you know, and he arrested the whole family, the whole village was destroyed and deserted for a long time. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Thakur makes the point that so not only one suffers by such a great offense, but others around. So it's a very, very dangerous, offense. And then the other story following from after that was about a brahmana who was employed by the uncles and by the uncle and father of Raghunath Das Goswami, Hirani and Govardhan Majumdar. And then they were very great devotees, and they were so happy that once they make an assembly of Vaishnavas where they invited Haridas Thakur when he was visiting, and they worship him, and they started discussing about the glories of the holy name. They started asking him questions, and Haridas Thakur explained. I mean, different devotees first said the holy name is so great, just by chanting it, one gets liberation. Just by chanting, one is freed from all anxieties and suffering. And Haridas Thakur said, these are just like a side effects of the chanting. The real treasure is that one gets love of Krishna. And he was, you know, describing the glory of the holy name in this way. And then this young brahmana called Gopal Chakravarti, who was employed by these two devotees, Hiran and Govardhan, he stood up. And again, out of envy for Haridas Thakur and pride, he was very, it was described, he had it was very beautiful, very, very beautiful and young and very learned. So he said, what are you talking about? Great yogis and mystics, they try to attain liberation for thousands of lifetimes, and you're saying just by chanting on the platform of Namabhas, which means offenseless chanting, one can get liberation? This isn't true. And if you cannot prove it, I will cut your nose. And everybody was like, really, what? You know, they were very dissatisfied, and stood up, and actually the two brothers kick him out, you know, fired him, you know, send him away. But Haridas Thakur, you know, he didn't took this seriously. He said he's just ignorant, and he's too much into logic. That's why he cannot understand the glory of the holy name. So he didn't take him seriously. But Krishna took him seriously. And then Krishna Das Kaviraj explains that shows the character of Vaishnava and the character of Krishna. So the character of Vaishnava in this case is he doesn't mind being offended in any way. He can tolerate anything, but he becomes very upset and very angry if Krishna is offended. And the same with Krishna. He doesn't mind being offended, actually. He doesn't care so much. But if a devotee is offended, you know, there is no, you know, no excuse. And there are many stories for that. So what happened was that this Gopo Chakravarti, he, after 3 days, after this incident, he got sick from leprosy. His beautiful nose fell. And his fingers, which were compared to golden champa flowers, so beautiful, they also, they also fell, or whatever, he just lost them. And after Haridas Thakur heard that, he was very unhappy. Of course, it's not that how he got it, you know, he deserved it, he offended me. You know, the Vaishnava was unhappy, but this was just the reaction he had to suffer because of this great offense. So these are different reasons one can do it out of envy, like this two cases with Haridas Thakur, the two envious Ramachandra Khan and Gopal Chakravarti. Then it can be out of pride, and this is very nicely illustrated in the story of Daksha, when he didn't receive Lord Shiva, he was just too proud. And another case in Chaitanya Charitamrita, anyone remembers of example of somebody out of pride disrespecting Acharya, which actually caused Lord Chaitanya to be very unhappy and chastise that also devotee. Yeah, Vallabhacharya, he was just too proud. He said the comments of Sridhar Maharaj are not correct. Here I come up with something better. And Lord Chaitanya was not at all happy. So this could be another reason. It could be, of course, some lesser, as we said, inattention, immaturity. It could be familiarity that brings contempt. It could be even like out of a joke. But again, the consequences could be very heavy. Like Chitraketu, he did offense, although it was very unintentional, and he wasn't disrespectful in fact. He just saw a scene which was a little bit funny for him, you know, at the moment. He saw an assembly of these celibate sages, you know, very sober and severe dhiras, and Lord Shiva among them. But he wasn't alone. He had beautiful Parvati sitting on his lap. So it's just kind of the combination of these sages and Lord Shiva sitting with Parvati on his lap. He found it amusing, and he smiled and joked about it. And Parvati didn't like that. So she cursed him, "Oh, you become a demon." Of course, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Chitraketu was a Prema Bhakta. He was so advanced. And therefore, you know, he remained devotee even as a demon. But he had to be born as a demon. So even jokingly, one should try to avoid this disrespectful behavior. And some other stories we have in our contemporary history of Vaishnava Sangha, we can see in different cases where devotees, again, out of it could be out of envy, it could be again pride or some kind of ignorance. Even they did offense, and in one case, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur actually didn't forgive a disciple until he left. is his very, very prominent leading disciples, one of the most prominent preachers. He was sent to preach in Europe. And while he was in Europe, he sent a letter to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati complaining about another prominent early disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And that letter was 54 pages or 47 pages, something like that. It was a long letter complaining, and it was kind of, you can say, a genuine concern about the future of Gaudiya Math, and that because of that devotee who might be too powerful in the management. So somehow he was just political or whatever. And after reading this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I don't want to see him. Besides all his good efforts in preaching, everything, he came back, he tried to beg forgiveness, and he didn't forgive him. He said, no, he's a snake. He's an envious snake. I don't want to see him. So that devotee later, he was repentful. He didn't want to do so. He was advised by other god brothers to go and do this. This is because this is a guru aparat. It's one of the gravest offenses of disrespect. And Lord Chaitanya says this is the nama the hatimata, in the nama aparat is the gravest of all. So he had to do some severe penance and chanting. So he went and was chanting, and he actually went barefoot in the Himalayas, stayed a long time, went to Vrindavan, was chanting in under the ground for a long time. And then it said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati appeared to him and he forgave him. And after that he went back. So we have similar case. And again, it's not that he was disrespectful to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati personally, he was disrespectful to another devotee. And we have a case in the Prabhupada Lila when a devotee also was critical of Prabhupada. He just criticized Prabhupada. He started associating with what he considered a higher association in around Radhakund in Vrindavan with some Babaji. So he started criticizing Prabhupada for his chanting of Gayatri and things like that. But also, he criticized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And because of that, Prabhupada gets so angry. And this devotee actually sent a letter to Prabhupada when he asked him to give him blessings to go, to continue further, and to continue into the higher levels and get further initiation and all that. And Prabhupada, because of this offense to his guru, he couldn't tolerate it. That criticism, he said, yes, I bless him. He will not get out of this material world for many kalpas. So it's a very, very heavy. That one can, one can say foolishness, at the bottom line it is envy and pride and all that, but ultimately it's really foolishness. So we should be careful, even if you don't do that in such a severe way. But many times we can find ourselves judging different devotees, and especially like here, this devotee Minaketan, who was behaving, if somebody offers you, someone offers you obeisances and, you jump on his shoulders, it looks strange. So one of my thing was this, I better stay away, or kind of just a subtle, disrespectful. Even if you think like that, it's bad. But if you start talking and criticizing, if it's not so severe, we may not lose our nose or something like that, but or fall down so badly, but what will happen that our progress will be stopped? That's very clear. So actually, this is one of the most common reasons we don't progress, or at least don't progress fast, because of our offenses towards others, other devotees. So, if you find our spiritual life dry and we don't experience, there is something wrong. The wrong thing is we're doing offenses. And usually the offenses in the seva paradas, they are not so severe. By chanting, it is said that these offenses are easily overcome. But the offenses towards the other devotees are, they create a havoc in our spiritual life, and at least, our progress is stopped, and we cannot advance, we cannot reach the high levels, and therefore we're stuck in one place, and we start thinking, what's wrong? I'm doing everything nicely because we follow everything. And we cannot somehow perceive these type of subtle offenses, because we think, I'm not doing something bad. I'm not doing some physical thing, or even I'm just, I'm talking, and I have to be. For example, we start talking about someone else, and we start to judge and say, well, that's bad, and this and that, and we justify it by some kind of a logic that we have to, for whatever reasons, we can criticize, but find fault, and we think, well, that's better, whatever. But again, it's something which displeases Krishna very much, and because of his displeasure, we are stuck, and we think the process is wrong because I'm doing it, but I don't experience what I'm expected to experience after some time. We're not supposed just to fight with anartha nivritishu bhakti siddhanta saraswati. Said at least after about 15 years, one should practicing, nicely following the process of Krishna consciousness. It shouldn't be just anartha nivritti, fighting with anarthas. It should be artha pravritti. One should start to experience the positive results, which means, of course, steadiness in the first place, but then ruchi, taste, and asakti, attachment, and bhava, the preliminary love of God, when one actually realizes one's relationship to Krishna and cannot stop thinking of Krishna. But even at that stage, one can fall because of this offense. So that's the severity of it. So thank you very much for your attention. I think I'll stop here. We can have a few minutes for any comments or questions.